Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying relationships, interacting with others. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 31, friendship power. You probably know the Bible story of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Probably know it well. Sometimes we get to know a familiar passage of Scripture so well, and we take it for granted and miss a lot. Imagine that experience from the perspective of loneliness. By the end of 3 days, Saul was a lonely man, blind in a foreign city. He needed a friend. He must have been physically spent by the time he approached Damascus, having traveled about 120 dusty miles. And just as the city came into view, just when he was focusing on a hot bath and a good meal, a blinding flash of light took away Saul's eyesight. Everything went dark and stayed that way. Then he got a spiritual rude awakening to go with his blindness, a word from heaven, telling him that everything he believed was wrong. Jesus was Lord. Into that darkness, a time of loneliness, grief, and despair, God sent one of Paul's first Christian friends. The Lord commanded Ananias to go to Saul. Although he was scared, Ananias obeyed and became the former church persecutor's friend. Sometime later, Barnabas became the new apostle's friend in Jerusalem. If it wasn't for Barnabas, Saul might not have met the skeptical apostles. But let's read our text. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 down to verse 31. Acts 9, 10. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some time with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. And when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. By becoming friends of Paul, Ananias and Barnabas indirectly changed the world for Christ. It's impossible to overstate the power of a faithful friend. And it's important that we be that kind of friend to people in our lives. Let's look at these two leaders and let's see three characteristics of faithful friends. First, to be a faithful friend, you need to be there. Look at verse 17, the first part of it. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Think about the best friends you've had, and who usually comes to mind are people who found a way to be with you. Some of them were with you in the routine of life. You attended class together. You grew up in the same neighborhood. You played sports or had hobbies together. If you live long enough, the best friends of your life find a way to be with you during tough times, driving hundreds of miles or jumping on a plane to be by your side. They don't stop with a phone call or email. They find a way to be there. A faithful friend ignores his or her own needs to help a friend. What if God asks you to be a friend to an enemy? In Luke 6:35, he'd done just that. But Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Ananias probably had a family and some faithful friends of his own. He lived in Damascus. He kept up with the news, and he knew a terrorist named Saul was on the loose trying to destroy the church. And Jesus said, Ananias, I have a new friend for you. With little explanation, Ananias gave the correct answer. He was willing to be there and be a friend to an enemy in the face of fear. Second, to be a faithful friend, you need the right touch. Look at the second part of verse 17. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just about every culture uses some form of touch in greeting friends. A handshake, a bear hug, a kiss on the cheek, a kiss on both cheeks. Saul went to Damascus to literally bind the hands of Christians like Ananias to drag them to prison. And Ananias used those hands to touch Saul. Imagine how Saul must have felt before Ananias arrived. He'd had no food or drink for 3 days. And the men he came with would have freaked out by what happened on the road. They got no explanation from Saul. They were probably frustrated. Hey, if Saul wants to sit there and die of starvation, we can't stop him. He needed a friend. And before Saul heard a word from Ananias, he felt a touch on his shoulder. And then he turned as the man spoke, trying to see the face of the man who treated him so kindly. Did you notice that Ananias began to speak by saying, Brother Saul? It may not seem like a big deal, but I'll bet Paul never forgot the day he was called brother for the first time. After sitting in darkness for 3 days without food drink or any encouragement, not simply kind words, but the right words at the right time. Ananias shared the truth with Saul and baptized him. The first person whom Saul saw after he regained his sight was a friend sent by God. Over the next several days, Ananias encouraged Saul and introduced him to other believers. Saul was touched by the power of Christian friendship in Damascus. And third, to be a faithful friend, you need to be supportive. Look at verses 26 and 27. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Saul's new friend, his buddy, so to speak, was Barnabas, the man nicknamed the Encourager. That's from Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. What a best friend to have, Barnabas. Saul left Damascus and walked 120 miles back to Jerusalem. All along the way, he met people who had been changed by Jesus. He looked forward to meeting the leaders, Peter, John, James, all those men who walked with Jesus. He wanted them to know that his life was changed, that he was now on the team. But when he arrived, he couldn't find a single disciple. Every time he got close to tracking someone down, he found an empty house. Every time he was ready to hold out his hand in friendship, he got nothing but air. The truth was obvious. The disciples heard that he had become a believer, but they didn't believe it. They were still afraid of him. Once again, Saul needed a friend. He didn't have to look far. Barnabas was there. Verse 27, again, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. A faithful friend stands with you. A faithful friend stands up for you in support. If you have such a friend, you have a great source of power. If you are that friend, God's power is working through you. Barnabas' friendship wasn't short term. He was committed to Saul for the long haul. After meeting the disciples, Saul took time off back home in Tarsus. As the church grew in Antioch, the need for teachers and leaders also grew. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Over the next year, those two friends worked at building up the believers there. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 25-26. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Beyond that year, Barnabas stayed with Saul for a lifetime, starting churches together and developing missionaries together. Their friendship survived a messy argument and separation. Barnabas supported Paul in the good times and through the tough times. Back to a point made earlier, Ananias and Barnabas indirectly helped change the world. Saul, who became known as Paul, eventually became the most important missionary in Christian history, every bit the equal of Peter and John in the early church, and certainly the most prolific writer in the New Testament. How many lost unbelievers have become Christians after hearing the concepts of salvation by grace and not by works? How many marriages have been strengthened, renewed, or saved by the words of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? How many anxious hearts have been calmed by the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, or the knowledge that all things work together for good to those who love God. God has used those scriptural principles for centuries, for millions of believers. I've been impacted by those words, and so have you. Well, Paul wrote them all. That faithful friend of Ananias and Barnabas. Maybe God is calling you to be a faithful friend to someone who needs one. It may be someone near you. It may be a current enemy. Who knows if it might be you who helps change the world next through friendship. You think about all that. You think about relationships. You think about interacting with others. And you have a great day.